We thank God for the word that God has given to us, that we have access to God's word. And before we pray, I thought I would share with fathers again, right? I know fathers always, you know, count their monies, right? But I do that. There were three fathers, young fathers, just they were waiting in a room, right? In a waiting room, you know, their wives were giving birth. And so it was interesting. They were so anxious. They were just waiting in the room. Three fathers, right? And so, and one of them, you know, was told that the wife gave birth to twins. Wow. So he was amazed and he said, "No, I play ball for the Minnesota Twins, and so I've been given twins." Later, the nurse came out and she told the second dad, and she said, "You know, congratulations, you are the father of triplets." And he was so amazed. He said, "This is amazing, because I work for 3M company," right? The next father was just sitting beside, he fainted. And they were all surprised. Why? You know, before the nurse came and announced to him, he fainted. And when they woke him up, they asked him, "What's wrong with you? Are you okay?" And he said, "You know, I work for 7-Up company." He was afraid of 7-Up, right? 7 kids, and so he knew the expenses would be a lot. So we thank God for the fathers, and you know, today I thought we would look at Joshua, because if you look at the Hebrew culture or the Jewish culture, the father is always seen as the priest of the house, right? He's always asked to lead the family. And today I've taken a passage from Joshua chapter 3, verses 1-5, and God is wanting to give a new journey to them, a new blessing, right? A new thing that God wants to do in the life of these people. So let's pray and ask God to be with us. Father, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the many blessings of God that we receive each and every moment of our lives, Father. It's a joy, Lord, to know you as our Lord and Savior. Lord, as we spend some time looking at your word today, Lord, we pray that you will continue to help us, O God. Lord, help us, O Lord, to understand what you have for us even today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I believe all of us want to bless our fathers today, and I know fathers are, you know, very excited, because I believe some of you have brought your fathers for lunch or dinners, or even some of you are preparing to have barbecues and all that. You know, it's always good to bless our fathers, right? Because I think God is a God who wants to always bless us. If you look at Scripture, you know, if you look at Scriptures very carefully, you know, it's a wonderful story where God is so faithful, right? He wants to bless us in every point of our life. And God can do great and wonderful things in our life. The passage today is a passage, you know, what God wants to do in the life of the Jews, right? In the life of Joshua, you know, who has taken the challenge to lead the people from River Jordan, you know, into the promised land that God has actually gave. And also to the people. I think God is always faithful. A couple of passages which we will see today, you know, when you look at the passage that is read to us today, it's a passage, you know, where, just to give you a background what's happening, you know, you realize that God has promised to these Israelites. And if you look at Genesis itself, God gave the promise to Abraham that he is going to bless them, right? He will give them the promised land that was assured to them. And here, Joshua in chapter 3, Joshua is just ready, waiting for God. And so God has spoken to him, and then he is wanting the Israelites to cross the River Jordan, right? And they were so excited to cross. But a couple of things, you know, we are going to learn from this particular passage. We are going to see God, right? I think we are going to see the Ark of the Covenant, where the presence of God was always felt. We are going to look at the people today. And finally, we will also look at River Jordan, which is a great reminder of what God can do in our lives. So when you look at the passage, what's happening, you know, they have come, they have journeyed. During the time of Moses, you know, they came, and they were almost there to conquer, because, you know, there were 10 of them who came with bad news, saying that, "No, we are not ready, right? We are not ready to go through, because those people are like giants. We can't overpower them. We can't conquer them." And so because of their disobedience to God's word, what was happening, they went around the wilderness for 40 years. And now they have come, right? During the time of Joshua. Joshua is the leader now. He is leading the entire group. And so they have come to the other side of River Jordan. They are just waiting. So they need to decide whether they want to go back to the wilderness again, right? Start their nomad life, or if they want to cross the River Jordan. It's a great challenge that is before them. And so we will see a couple of things here. Firstly, when I look at this passage, you know, I'm always reminded of this, you know, that God is always faithful in His promise, right? When God gave Abraham the promise, if you read Genesis chapter 15, right, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God said, you know, I'm going to give you, right, I'm going to give you the land. You know, when you look at it, God is always faithful in His promises. It might take time, it might take years, or even hundreds of years, but God is always faithful in His word, my friend. I think as a church, or even in our lives too, if God has given us a promise, He's faithful. And we can trust this God because He is faithful in the promise that He has given to us. And He will always try to fulfill the promise. So what's happening here? You know, Joshua is here. And if you look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 2, God says, you know, Moses my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give you. Can you imagine? It took so many years. But God always remembered, right? He could have said, you guys, you know, are good for nothing because you've disobeyed me many times. I've given you opportunities after opportunities. You have not been so faithful. You've always rebelled against me. You know, it's more than second chance. I've been giving you a lot of chances. But no, you know, God is so faithful. And now He says, Moses is dead. But now, Joshua, you know, I'm going to give you, right, and to the people, the land. I will give you every place where you set your foot as I have promised Moses. Can you imagine? I think that's the God that you and I worship today, my friend. I think when we were worshiping, I do not know how you were feeling, but I was telling myself, you know, this is a God who's always faithful in His promise, right, in His word. If God has promised us, I think God is always faithful in the promise. That's why if you read in Joshua chapter 23 verse 14, Joshua says, right, when he was almost a very old man, he says, now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. In other words, he says, I'm going to die. And so he remembers, he recalls the things that God has done. He says, you know with all your heart and soul that not one of all good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. See, that was the testimony of this great man, Joshua. He says, God is faithful. Right? Everything that God has said, He has fulfilled. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. My friends, and I do not know how you look at this God today. Do you see this God as a faithful God? Right? Do you see this God, if God has given you a promise, a word, right? If He says that He's going to bless you, you know, if you're faithful to the word, you know, God will definitely bless us. And I think Joshua was believing in a God who was so faithful, right? As I said, you know, when you look at the word carefully, you realize, I think even in Deuteronomy 30 verse 90, it says, God will again take delight in prospering you as He took delight in your fathers. And I was reading D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody has a great statement. And let me look at D.L. Moody. And he said, God never made a promise that was too good to be true. Right? God will always fulfill the promise that He has given to the people. Right? But there's always a but here. Right? If you realize, I think, but with every promise comes with a price. If God has given us a promise, I think when God told the Israelites, right, that I'm going to give you a promised land, the land of Canaan, with flowing with milk and honey, that always comes with a price. In other words, God wanted them to be obedient people, right? He wanted them to worship Him as Lord and Savior. At the same time, I think God wanted them to follow, right? We live in a world where we want easy access to things, right? So when you look at it very carefully, You know, when you look at the gospel story, right? If you want the crown, you need to carry the cross, right? If you want God to bless you like Joseph, I think, you know, sometimes God puts us in a pit, right? He might even put us in a prison before he elevated Joseph into be the second in command in the entire land of Egypt, my friend. So every promise comes with a price, you know, and these people have to cross the land, right? They have to cross River Jordan. And if you read at Joshua chapter 3, verse 4, it says, "And then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before." If God is faithful, he wants to do some things in our life, but there are sometimes God wants us to lead in a route and lead us in a way that we are not familiar with. You know, sometimes we think, you know, God, yes, you want to bless me. Good. But God says, I want to bless you, but I want to lead you in this way. You need to go through this path. It might be very challenging. It might be time-consuming. You might not like the path, but you need to go. Can you imagine the people all standing there, right? They might be thinking, you know, our forefathers, you know, they went back again because they were not able to face the challenge. They can go back to the wilderness, right? One more round for another 40 years, or they can say, you know, it's a challenge. We want to take that challenge. We want to follow God, right? As the psalmist said, even though I walk through the valley of darkness, I fear no evil. Either we can say that, we can say, Lord, I just retrieve, right? I can't go through this. So sometimes in our life too, I think God wants to lead us in a different path altogether. Sometimes we think this is the way God should lead. But God says, no, I want to bring you to a different path. It might take time. Maybe God wants to build our life. Maybe he wants to build patience in our life, my friend. But God's path can many times be different in our lives. But are we ready? Right? Are we ready to take the challenge and say, Lord, lead me through. Right? Lead me through. You know, for a moment I was thinking, you know, people were so excited because God said, tomorrow I'm going to do an amazing thing, right, in their lives. There was a lot of excitement. God wants to fulfill. At the same time, if you read Joshua chapter 3:15, it says, now Jordan is at a flood stage all during harvest. In other words, you know, it is uncontrollable. It is challenging to cross Jordan. There's good news there. At the same time, there is a challenge over there, right? We want good news. At the same time, it's a challenge over there. Because God wants us, you know, to bring us through a different route altogether. Yes, I don't know how many of us, you know, are prepared to go through a different route altogether. Sometimes it might be a route where we experience suffering in our lives. Are we still ready to go through that particular route? It might be a time where we might experience loss in our life, right? Are we ready to go through? Because God wants to fulfill his promise, right? Are we ready to go through a difficult path, a path we have never traveled before, right? And God wants to fulfill the promise in our life. A couple of things we will watch here in this particular passage. You know, I'm thankful for the decorations, that is, you know, the decos, which is just reminds us of the time of Exodus, right? The time when the Israelites left and also crossed River Jordan. Firstly, what was happening here? If you read Joshua chapter 3, right, it says they follow the movements of God. In other words, the first thing, right, God is faithful. Every promise comes with a price. Thirdly, we need to be following the movements of God. If you realize in chapter 3, verse 3, it says, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priests carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow. I think many of us know what is the ark of the covenant, right? If you look at it, it's a very simple box kind of a thing, but it has a lot of importance or significance in the Ark of the Covenant. If you read Exodus chapter 16, verses 33 and 34, you'll realize that there were ten, the tablets were there that contains the Ten Commandments, right? So whenever, every time I use my tablets, I think God has already started using tablets those days. But the Ten Commandments are there. And secondly, if you realize, Aaron's rod is also there. It has budded, right, with almonds and all that. And there are leaves in that particular rod. So it shows that God is so wonderful, that God is a God who was leading the people altogether. He's a God who's so powerful. And secondly, thirdly, if you look, you know, the manna was also there. It was a reminder of God's provision that He provided them throughout the wilderness. And that was what it shows. Firstly, as I said, the Ten Commandments, it's not just a law that God gave them. Why did God give them the law? Because He wanted to have a relationship with the people. So it shows the law was given so that God can have a relationship with the people. Because God is holy. And these are the things that, you know, we need to be doing in our lives, that we can have a relationship with God. And so Joshua tells his people, right, you know, follow the Ark of the Covenant. When the Ark of the Covenant moves, you are supposed to move. You know, a couple of words when you look at it. In other words, we need to realize we need to follow His lead, right? When the Ark of the Covenant moves, you move. I was asking myself why, right? When you look at scholarship, it says, you know, they need to move. And it also says there need to be a distance, right, between them. It's almost like 3/4 of a mile. In other words, 2,000 cubits. And so, in other words, God says, you follow me. Right? Simple truth. You follow my lead. I am the leader. I'm the guide. You want my blessings? It's my way. Right? This is the way. And God wants us to just follow Him, right, where He leads us. Secondly, if you realize, you know, God says, you know, follow me with awe. That when you look at the distance, God says, one of the reasons is so that people will be able to see. If it's together with the people, you know, the others might not be able to see. If it was 3/4 of a mile, everyone is able to see where the Ark of the Covenant was going. Secondly, the distance was to create an awe feeling, right? I think sometimes in our churches today, what is missing is the awe. Do we have that awe, right? When we come into the presence of God, do we have the awe when we read God's word, when we listen to God's word, you know, when we engage ourselves with God's word, right? Do we have that awe? And so God was telling them, yes, you know, I'm going to lead you, but I think you need to keep a distance. The early church, if you look at the life of the early church, you will see one word that appears quite often. The church was filled with awe. There was reverence. There was fear. They knew that this God is a God is so faithful, a God is so powerful. And lastly, when I look at this word very carefully, you know, did you realize until the Numbers, you know, until the book of Numbers, what was happening? God was leading them through a pillar of fire at night and through a pillar of cloud during the day. But now it was a spectacular kind of a thing. It was very spectacular. It was something like firework. People were just waiting for that firework and then they will move. But now God is leading the people totally differently, right? He's just leading them by His word, my friend. The Ten Commandments were there. Aaron's rod were there. The manna, which is the bread, right, was also there. And Jesus is the bread of life. And so today, I think God is leading us through His word. Sometimes we might think, you know, God has to be, you know, showing Himself in a very spectacular manner and He should lead us. Maybe yes. But most of the time God says, you know, I want to lead you through my word. Right? All this while, until Numbers 33, you realize God was leading them differently. But now He's leading them to the Ark of the Covenant. Right? And even today, I think God is leading us through Jesus, who's the Word of God today. I think we need to be following Christ. One of the reasons I realized, I think God wanted to always go ahead because He don't want us to overtake Him. Because many times, if we realize, we tend to overtake God, right? Before we can just, you know, we, before we just follow him, we think, you know, we know the best. We know this is the thing. We tend to overtake God. You cannot overtake God, my friend. If you want God's blessings in your life, you need to follow him, his lead, his word, and with awe. You know, many times we think, you know, the holier than thou attitude, we know the best, and we know where to go. Follow God's movement, Joshua. Follow God's movement, the Jews, right? If not, they will not have the promised land. Secondly, it says, consecrate yourself. It's important. Consecration always precedes before you are able to see God working in the life of the people, right? First, secondly, God says, consecrate yourself. I like the word. In other words, in a very, because it's a spiritual battle for them, it's going to be something spiritual. They're going to cross the River Jordan. And so God says, you know, you need to focus on me. In other words, get rid of the things that is actually hindering you. Consecrate, right? Just focus on me. Get rid of the things, you know, that is stopping you from coming closer to me. That might be something that we are sticking on, something is difficult for us to surrender or to say no. It means, you know, just focus on me, because I know the way and I'm going to lead you, not the other things that you have occupied yourself with or you have idolized yourself with. God says, just focus on me, consecrate yourself. Right? And secondly, if you look at the word very carefully, he says yourself. It's a very interesting word in the Hebrew text. It means, the word is hippal in Hebrew. It's a very interesting word. It means that he does, the one has to do something in themselves. In other words, it is not saying, Lord, just forgive me and consecrate me. You know, it's easy for us to pray, Lord, forgive me, Lord, cleanse me and anoint me. But this word means you have a role to play in your life too, my friend. If you say, God, forgive me, then you need to get rid of the things that you are holding on to. If you say, God, fill me with the Spirit, I think we need to tell ourselves, Lord, these are the things that is hindering me, O God. You know, fill me. So I need to be engaging myself in your word, in your presence. So the word means that your role is also important. Yes, God wants to lead us, help us, but God expects us to play our role. And that's the word in the Hebrew text, my sir. We need to also make the initiative. It's important, right? We always say, Lord, forgive me. Well, Lord, forgive me. But are we living a life where we are saying, you know, I'm just getting rid of all these things that's actually, you know, I'm focusing on. It's what I'm sticking on to. I think that's the word very clear here. So we need to focus on God and also focus on ourselves, right? What am I doing? What am I doing? How am I dealing with my life? Am I just asking for the Lord anoint me, right? As if God will magically anoint without we doing what is important in our lives, right? To have that anointing, to have that God's power working in our lives. And so this is an important word for us to look at. You know, sometimes, you know, it's easy, right? And I was looking at the word, sometimes it's easy to point finger, right? When I look at the word very carefully, it's something like Adam, right? Adam, what did Adam say? It's because of the women you gave. Right? And so the same mentality is with many in the churches today, right? We tend to blame the church. We tend to blame the staff. We tend to blame the workers. You know, we tend to blame another person. But many times, have you realized, every time we blame, the other fingers are actually pointing at us. And that's why Joshua is telling the people, you need to consecrate yourself. Your role is important. You can't blame the forefathers, your neighbor. You need to take ownership of your life. You need to consecrate yourself. You need to do what God wants you to do in your life, my friend. I think that is important. I was reading this great man by the name of F.B. Meyer was a great man, and he became a very influential and a well-known speaker God was using. So a young preacher went to this great man and said, Dr. Meyer, I just want to know, how you became so influential and great. And this was the words of this man, words of wisdom. He said, "Don't waste your time waiting and longing for large opportunities which may never come, but be faithful and handle the things, little things, that are always claiming your attention. Do the things that God has given to you." Right? And the following words he was saying, don't blame, just do. And that's what God is wanting us. We need to take ownership of our lives. If I'm not spiritually well, I think I need to take ownership of myself. Right? It's easy. What am I doing with my life? God is always willing to lead us, provided we come in and help ourselves too. Let's continue looking at the word finally. Right? I'll finish with this because we have lunch prepared by our Mandarin church. We don't want to miss that opportunity too. The last one, what's happening here in verse 15, if you realize, we need to step out in faith, my friend. That's important. Right? What is happening? Can you imagine? Every time I look at scriptures, it's very interesting the way God leads. Look at the passage very carefully. Right? When their feet touch the water's edge, then the water from upstream stops flowing. In other words, it's easy for us to cross if everything is ready and the river is open for us. Can you imagine walking till the river and the river is still the same? Right? And during harvest time, the current is very strong in River Jordan, and people are just walking. They're coming closer. Can you imagine? I was just trying to imagine. You're coming closer, nothing is happening. It's not like an automatic door, right? From a particular distance, it opens for you. But here, you're coming closer, it's not opening. You don't see anything happening, right? Until, what happens? Until you take a step and you put it in faith, my friend, on the edge of the waters, then you see God working in the lives of the disciples. Many a times, we want God to prepare. We want God to open the River Jordan for us so things will be much more clearer for us. We want a roadmap. But God says, no, until you step out in faith, you need to put your legs where you do not know where it's going to land, my friend. I was trying to imagine if they were putting their feet, they do not know. It might be, there might be a shellfish there, that might be hard stones, it might be, rocks there, there might be even bottles, I do not know, my friend. But they need to put their legs in. They need to wet their feet. It is challenging unless they have faith in God. Many a times we want to see, we want to know the roads, we want to have a GPS so that we know there is no construction along the way. There is no traffic along the way, so it's an easy drive for us. But God says no. Until you put your foot down, you do not know what's going to happen to the next. You must be willing to go through. Do you have that kind of faith, my friend? You have never traveled this land before, but God says, until. Many a times I think we are not able to experience God's blessings. You know why? We say we have faith in God. But do we have that faith in action, my friend? Yes, I believe in God. That's wonderful. I believe in Jesus Christ. That's wonderful. But do we show our faith in action? Are we willing to put our feet in a path that we have never stepped before, knowing that God is leading? This is important for us. Are we stepping out in faith? Right? If God is leading you, and sometimes in our life, we might not know, but if you know for sure that this is God leading you, step out in faith. Then you will see, like the walls here today, right? The waters will part. The waters will part. And you will see God leading us powerfully. You know, I was just imagining if they would have gone to their age and nothing happens, they could have easily said, I don't see anything. Right? It's easy for them to turn back, right? Unless they step in faith. Let me finish with a story. I do not know if it's related or not, but I'll share with you. It was an incident that happened. It's a story that happened during winter time. And so this young boy came to the dad and said, Dad, my friend has invited me to a birthday party. It's winter. It's heavy winter. It was not so safe to travel during that time. So he came and told the dad, Dad, I want to go. The dad said, no, son, today you can't go. Because look at the weather outside, so bad. You can't see anything, right? And it's too dangerous for you to travel. You can't. He said, I'm just going to walk just two blocks away. My friend's house is there. I want to go and celebrate. The dad said, no. But the son was so adamant, right? He said, I need to go. I want to go because I promised my friend I'll be there. So finally, the dad said, okay, right? You can go. So this boy, he left the home. He was just walking so slow, right? Because he was not able to know where were the pavement. But somehow he managed to go to the house. And then when he was almost, before he could enter the house, he looked back and he saw a shadow. He realized it was the shadow of the father, and the dad was following him. When I was reading that story, I was telling myself, even though the son was so adamant, the father, out of his love, was just following him from behind. My friends, if you and I are faithful, God will not follow you behind, but he will walk with you. Even though I walk through the valley of darkness, I fear no evil. You know why? For thou art with me. Thy staff, they comfort me. God will walk with us provided we are willing to take the step of faith when we know God has promised something for us. Are we willing? God is ready. Are we ready? Let's pray. I want you to take a moment to think of the things that God has promised in your life. Sometimes we know where God is leading us, or we might know where He wants to lead us. Many a times the Spirit of God prompts our spirit and He speaks to us and says, in our life, we know. But many times have you realized we don't want to admit it. God has a plan for the Israelites. They could have gone into Canaan 40 years ago, but they were not willing to take the step of faith. But God is still faithful. Can you imagine? God is just bringing them back again. He's so faithful. But now God says, I want to lead you in a different way altogether. Not the usual way that you always travel. But I want to do something different. Are you willing to take that challenge? It might be a rough path. It might be difficult. It might be taking a lot of time, patience. Maybe God might be wanting to teach us certain things along the way. But God says, you have never traveled this route before.
But I want to take you that route. You know, many times we want to travel in a very familiar route because we know the route very well. But God says, no, that's not the path that I want to bring you. It might be difficult, it might be challenging, it might call for a lot of sacrifice. But God wants to do something. Are you willing to follow me? Maybe God was leading them in a very spectacular way in those days, but now God says, it's going to be simple, just follow the Ark of the Covenant. Now I'm going to lead you through my word. Don't overtake me, because you will get lost. Just follow, because I know the route. God says, sanctify yourself, consecrate yourself, because this is a spiritual battle, my friend. Just focus on me. Don't make any other things idle. And consecrate yourself. What are you supposed to do? What are the things that you are supposed to leave behind? What are the things that you need to surrender and say, no, I just want to deny myself and focus on Christ. I believe when the Israelites were walking, they did not see anything happening to the river. They were walking closer, nothing, no visible sign. They came close and nothing, the river is still strong. Probably they were just a couple of feet away, they might have thought, you know, let's turn back, because nothing is happening. But God says, until you put your foot into the water, until you wet your feet, then you will see how I will lead you. Oh God, we thank you, Lord, because you want to lead us, O God, in a different path altogether. Because you want to fulfill the promises in our life, Lord. Help us, O Lord, to just follow your movements, O God, your prompting, your guidance, which comes from your word. Help us to fear you, Lord, and to know that you are in control of our lives. Help us, O Lord, to consecrate ourselves, O God. As Paul said, O God, whatever weights, O God, that are in us that needs to be thrown away, God, so that we can run the race. And help us, O Lord, to take the step of faith and completely trusting in your leadership, in your guidance. Because this is new to us, O God. Help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.